3, 2, 1. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Yes, it is, except for the rain.
Don't you think we need a little rain?
Yes. Then I don't have to water the flowers.
You don't have to water the flowers, and it just gives us... My biggest struggle with summer is that it's just always go, go, go. I like a rainy day where I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't have to go to the beach.
That's when you can catch up on your chores.
Right. I love the beach. I love doing stuff, but, you know, I'm not going to get all upset if I have to skip it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even go to the beach this weekend.
Me neither.
Do you guys have the flesh-eating bacteria disease down at your beach?
That is was near the Route 50 bridge. I go to Assateague.
Oh.
So.
Do you... Does Assateague have the ponies?
Mm-hmm.
Chincoteague, too?
Mm-hmm.
Are they the same ponies that just go back and forth?
No.
Different
ponies.
I think
they keep them separate, but it's all one island.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Someone was just telling me that it's amazing down there and I should go, and I said, okay, but it's...
Assateague...
45 minutes away.
National Seashore is the one with the ponies. There's a state park, too. You might see ponies there, but the cool one's the national park.
Okay.
And then I think they have, like, some kind of herding procedure. So if you drive down the Chincoteague, you can't see ponies as much as you could at Assateague.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're struggling with microphone sounds. I just don't want to miss a word.
Okay.
Because it's hard to get you up here.
Yeah.
Because you're busy.
Everything I say is so important.
What I tell you is important. I mean, you know, the fun thing about doing podcasts is that there's no real rules. You know, we don't have to. We're not on, you know, a radio station.
So I can
we're
say
not,
a bad word.
You can say whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. We have, you know, there's no rules. I mean, you know, the premise of the podcast is one small business opening another.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah, I know you have a small business, you're a photographer, but you're also a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've done 40 something podcasts and 41 of them are all been my friends.
Mm, awesome.
And someone says, well, you just got a lot of friends.
Yes.
And I do.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it, but I think it kind of represents kind of the life I live.
Mm.
You know?
Yep.
When you have a lot of friends, you're friendable.
Yeah. And it's good to have a lot of friends and like... I have a ton of friends, and it's like if you ever need anything, you've got to know somebody that does something. Like if you need a lawyer, I know a lawyer. If you need it's like it's really nice because it's reciprocal.
Yeah, well, sometimes. There's other times where I feel bad, like because they think I just want everything for free. Like lawyers. Hey, aren't you a lawyer? Yeah, call me on my office phone number. I'm like, oh, damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I haven't needed a lawyer in quite a while. So,
yes,
but,
me neither, unfortunately.
One of the good things. But, you know, there's, you just try to live a decent life and you end up with a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, and for me, at least in my story, I chose to get sober. I spent a lot of my life, in fact, my wife and I were just talking about this. You know, especially when I got sober in a small town and you end up knowing everybody and it's like you're amazed how many people are actually sober. But I had spent such a big portion of my life not having friends. You know, it was always like after dark friends, shady friends, you know, back alley friends. And then, you know, you start becoming friends at the front alley of the front half of the building or whatever you would say, you know, but the people that live in the light, I was always friends with the people that lived in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think for me, it was just a great, it was definitely, it helped me for me to stay sober or at least living a more positive life because just the friends.
Yeah.
And I'm not everybody, I can't say everybody is a friend. I mean, a lot of acquaintances, good acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
Can you count all your friends on one hand, your good friends?
That is a good question. Well, I'm kind of like you. I have a lot of friends, but I also have a lot of good acquaintances.
Right.
And in a similar situation, you know, I'm sober as well. And so it's just like those friendships, you don't have to see those people on the regular, but if you called them, they would do anything for you. So I would say my very good friends, yeah, I could probably count on one hand, and then I have a ton of other super good friends but they don't fit on that hand.
So real quick, let's introduce you.
Okay.
Do you want to introduce yourself or do you want me to do it?
Let's have you do it.
Krista Valiant.
Yeah.
Nailed it. That's like a my last podcast guest had the same name, Krista.
Oh yeah?
Spelled it differently
it's
though.
It's Krista Day.
Well, her name is Krista Baird, and I said that it reminded me of a diamond factory. Like De Beers, diamonds. I don't know why. Just but Krista Valiant reminds me of like a rock star.
Yeah, I really dig my last name.
I dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Valiant.
Mm-hmm. I like, well, because of like Prince Valiant and like right. the word Valiant being like, it's a valiant effort. I can always like go in there and give it my valiant effort.
Is that how you live your life?
I try.
Valiantly?
Yeah.
Is that, can we use that word like that? Valiantly? That was a valiant effort.
Yeah. I think you can use it like that, except that word has one L, and my last name has two L's.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm in a dilemma here, because I have this awesome boyfriend, and I know we want to get married, and I'm like, oh, should I get rid of my last name?
Can you hyphen it?
No, I'm thinking about it, but, you know, it's not about the name, really.
It's 2019. I mean, yeah. You know, anything's possible these days.
I already feel like I've taken his last name, though, which is Johnson, and I feel like a Johnson.
That's but Krista Johnson.
Yeah.
I like Valiant. No offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing
he's got to
understand. Do with him. Yeah, it's just a cool last name. I wonder what would happen if I said, Danny, do you want to be Danny Valiant? Does that happen?
No. Can't do that.
His parents would kick my butt.
Yeah, you can't. But you can hyphen it.
Yeah, I could hyphenate it.
Well, and I think... So what's the name of your photography business?
So it was my name. It was Krista Valiant Photography, and I just changed it in July to Atlantic Exposure. And I kind of did it because I'm growing, and I have some other photographers, and
Atlantic Exposure.
Atlantic Exposure.
I like that.
Yeah, I think it's got a play on words. It's like photography exposure and marketing
exposure. Names
are
tough. Names are tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many different choices. Mm-hmm. So many different things you can make up.
Yes.
But Atlantic Exposure, we're on the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
Exposure, like, that could mean like the sun,
it can mean
the camera.
Or marketing exposure.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought about it for a long time. And
Did you WWW it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Hit the website?
Yep, it's all claimed up. I was really surprised nobody had taken it yet, and it's registered and everything. So I was really surprised it was available.
Well, when I was when I was starting this podcast, I was like, I think there's a RehobothBeach.com. And I was like, God, I wish I had that RehobothBeach.com.
Hmm.
And then I go, wait a minute, I can invent any name I want.
RehobothSocial.com.
Mm-hmm. And I got it.
Voila.
Voila. So there's more ways to skin a cat.
Yes.
So, yeah. But was that tough, like giving up? I mean, did you get to a point where you felt like the name wasn't working?
No, I just, like I said, I just wanted to grow. I don't think there was anything wrong, and nothing's changed besides that I have more photographers now. And I think I do real estate photography, but I also do portraits.
Do you have your drones license?
Not yet, but I'm getting it.
Rob Waters, who is on so this is my, the start of the second season of the Rehoboth Social oh shit, hold on. We have a sponsor.
Cool.
Yeah, I got to read something.
Tell me all about them.
You want to hear about my sponsor?
Yes, please.
All right. I'm going to read it for you. I'm going to have to tell them I need this printed in bigger letters because I'm getting old. Okay. So you want to hear about my sponsor? I'm going to tell you.
Please.
All right. So today's podcast is brought to you by Urban Float.
What is Urban Float?
Well, you know, Chris, I'm glad you asked that. It's the premier flotation therapy spa in the Mid-Atlantic. Guests float in a sensory-managed environment in 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts, which provide profound health benefits for those who are seeking pain relief, stress management, recovery, or simply want to disconnect from the overconnected world. Call 302-232-3141. That is 302-232-3141. That's a good number. It's good for them. To schedule your first float or use code, and this is important, first time, at checkout when you visit urbanfloat.com.
First time.
That's yeah, you get code. A discount.
That's pretty cool.
Discount.
So can we, this just reminded me, are you done reading about it?
Well, I'm going to tell you where they are. Do you know where they are?
No, where are they?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because Urban Float is located off Route 1 north in Rehoboth Beach across from the Rehoboth Mall in the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center next to Wawa. Ah. Renew, refresh, don't do that again, and revive at Urban Float.
Urban Float. Okay, so a sensory-deprived floating in salt. So this brings me to the most important thing we could talk about all day. Do you watch Stranger Things?
I don't.
Oh, no.
I mean, I started to. It's funny. I started to watch Stranger Things, and then we had a power outage, and I got derailed from it for some reason, and I never went back and kind of got back into it. But then my kids became big fans, and now my kids are big fans of Stranger Things. So yes. Now I feel like I'm not allowed to go watch it.
You need to watch it. The season 3 just came out on the 4th.
Right. And, I heard from my kids.
I'm like halfway through it already. We've been binge watching it. And so 11, the girl in there, she, like, when she is sensory deprived and she floats in salt water, she can contact other people. Do you think that if I went to your sponsors,
Urban Float?
Urban Float, and did that, I could, like, communicate with somebody?
Hey man, I don't know why not. I mean, if your mind is open, I think you know communication is definitely possible. Mm. I have tried it, and I do love it. And I didn't. I'm not usually someone that takes time for me for that kind of stuff. But I bought it for my wife for Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. I bought us each one, so we could do it together.
Yeah,
and we loved it. And then I became good friends with the owner because I had them on the podcast. I really think he's a great guy, and he's got a lot of terrific ideas. And I couldn't be any more proud to have them as my sponsor because I just love, you know, they're all about wellness and helping others. And Carlos is a super cool guy, so I'm just really proud to have him as a sponsor. I think they're a great small business. It is a great experience floating. They do it the way they do it. It's so you go, you call them up, set up an appointment, use first time because you'll get a discount on your first time floating. They set you up an appointment. You show up. You go into this thing that they call the Dream Pod, and it's 6 by 8, meaning it's 6 feet wide by 8 feet long, and it looks like a giant egg.
I think I've seen pictures of them.
And you open up the lid, and so the first thing you do is you leave your shoes outside, which I think is really cool. Not outside, but outside your room, because each pod has a room.
Okay.
And inside the room, you have a pod, and you have a shower. Very well done. Beautiful place. And so you go in, and you take a cold shower. You know, cool your core. Cool yourself down. And you get inside the pod. The pod is, the water is at 93.5. No, 93 and a half, something like that, 0.4 degrees. And you get in, and the reason it is because you don't want to be able to differentiate the temperature of the water with the temperature of the air. Mm. So at 93.5, that's the temperature of the air, that's the temperature of the water. You can't tell where the water starts and the air begins. If the water was, like, really warm, like in 100 degrees or whatever, you would feel the cold. The air would be cooler. So the idea is to just be floating, like, in a spot where you can't tell whether, you know, you're in water or you're in air. That's why they do that.
That sounds really cool.
It's amazing.
And super relaxing.
Oh, yeah. And you close the lid, and they got this jungle music. And lights are kind of going on. You can let the light strobe. I don't want to say strobe. It changes at a nice pace to different colors. You can turn that off and just make it black in there. But it was just great. And you float for an hour, and I loved it. And I asked for that for Father's Day, so my wife got it for me.
Cool.
They just got some extra sponsorship time.
Yeah, they did.
So what's on the agenda? I mean, so you're busy. I mean, doing a lot of real estate. You know, now that I was going to talk about Rob Waters, who was on a different podcast, but him and I went to drone school together. He passed, I failed.
I'm taking a online course right now, and
so that you can pass the the drone test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have two. My other two photographers are both licensed, so it's not like a problem, and right. I can still fly if they're supervising me, which is easy to do and good practice. So. Yeah. It's fun. And I think it'll be, I don't know, hopefully I pass. It's a lot to study and work a full-time job.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not that. I took the course over at Del Tech. Mm-hmm. Course taught by Eric Hamm was his name. He's actually a state police helicopter pilot who taught the course. Great course. I got a 68 out of 70. You needed a 70 out of 100 to pass the test, so I was 2 points short. Mm-hmm. But what I learned is that what I was looking for, a drone license didn't give it to you, which was freedom to fly the drone anywhere I wanted. And what I learned in the course is that is not allowed.
Yeah.
That's a no-no.
Yeah. It's almost like if you don't have the pilot's license, you can do more because you don't have the knowledge.
Right. You can play dumb.
Yeah, almost. But, I mean, it's weird, and it's changing. Like, they just changed that law that people without a pilot's license, recreational flyers, you don't have to, you can, they changed the law that said you had to be 5 miles away from an airport. So that's cool. But
I think just, it's a lot. Honestly, it's weird. When I took the course, and I've said this before, it's like you're basically getting a pilot's license without, you know, a lot of that work.
Yeah, but you're in the first step. You might as well just keep going and learn how to fly a plane.
But what you learn is that, and I don't really care for the way they taught it, really. I mean, I guess it's, you know, you're learning about airspace. You know, like if I was going to take my drone and fly it to New Mexico, I would have to have a flight plan. Mm-hmm. You know, I would take a piece of string and stretch it between the two places where I'm going, and I would have to figure out every airspace, restricted area, everything through that path. Mm-hmm. You make the phone calls, you set up appointments, you let them know you're coming through, you get approval. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what the class is, to tell you how to do that.
Okay.
But you don't do that with a drone. You know, I'm just flying it, taking a drone, flying it backwards from a front door of a house and, you know, a house you're trying to sell. Mm-hmm. I was taking the drone and flying it all over the place. I don't know if you saw any of my drone flights, but just flying it all through the state park and just long, continuous flights. Mm-hmm. What I learned in the drone school is that's illegal. So what I was looking for wasn't going to be, I wasn't getting it from drone school.
Right.
I thought, well, I'll go to drone school and then maybe I'll, you know, become a drone pilot and have a second job. But I've also learned I don't want to do that either. So yeah. I didn't even go take the test again. But it was a fun experience. It was fun doing it with Rob, and he was on another podcast. But he brought me a video of somebody that was flying a drone for the fireworks. Mm. Over the firework barge in Lewis.
That sounds illegal.
It was illegal, and it's people like dangerous. that are going to ruin mm-hmm. drones.
Yeah, I noticed not this past year, but the 4th of July prior, somebody was flying a drone through the fireworks in Berlin.
Yep.
And I thought it was cool, and then as I learned, I was like, that's not cool.
Well, and if
want to lose your drone to a firework?
Well, like what Rob was saying, if that firework had hit that drone and then the drone had dropped straight down into the fireworks on the barge, it could have really set off something. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not, mm-hmm. you know, going to create a whole lot of drama, but, you know, it's not appropriate.
Yeah, you're not supposed to fly a drone in the evening. What is it, like 30 minutes prior to sunset or something?
Half hour after sunset.
After sunset. So it's like, you know, there's just all kinds of rules without special permission.
Mm-hmm. I actually flew I've kind of lost drone interest, but I did, you know, two things. We had a full moon. Do you do pictures of the moon over
No.
it? It's a hard picture.
It's a difficult picture, and I don't have the patience for it.
Right. It's just that I had another guy on. I said we just came through the challenge between like the iPhone and like a regular camera. I mean, I know that mm-hmm. the iPhone now takes such great pictures. It makes photographers all around the world go, oy. But then you have moments like the full moon.
Yes.
And that separates the cream from the crop.
Yes, that's totally true. You can't, I mean, an iPhone can do a lot, but if you don't have the proper, a camera can do a lot, but if you don't have the right lens.
Well, and you know, that setting up the aperture and all the mm-hmm. ISO and all that, you know, whatever that stuff is, because I don't know much about it. But if it's set up correctly, you can get a decent picture, but you definitely need a tripod. You just can't hold it.
Right.
And then I don't know if you noticed, but they just harvested a lot of all the wheat. You know, we had, I don't know if it was wheat or whatever, some crop out there, but they harvested all. It may have been alfalfa or something, but they harvest it. Then they leave these bales. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, because I love that picture. of just that depth.
I think
of,
I saw that, but you posted.
Yeah, so I took the drone out and I flew it over the, you know, the bales, but all the cool lines from picking it all up.
Yep, that's pretty. It's pretty. We live in a beautiful area.
We live in a beautiful area, but I don't think everybody, you know, do you notice that kind of stuff? Do you go, geez, I wish I could get my camera out. I need to take some pictures of that.
Yep. Yeah, and I have, like, I'm always torn because I love taking pictures, but I also like enjoying beautiful things. So it's like, do I pick up my camera or do I, like, take a picture of this in my mind and remember it, you know, like, later?
Well, we went to Firefly a couple weeks ago or whatever it was, and you always hear about put down your phone, just watch the concert. You know, why do you got to videotape it? You can see it live. Well, I like sharing it on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. I mean, don't we all?
Yes, we do now.
But I was a little more conscious of it. I didn't take very many videos and stuff of the concert because I just didn't want to be that guy. Because I agree, you know, do I want to enjoy it or do I want to spend it looking through my phone?
Yeah, it's like those super good ones. Some beautiful sunset when you're on a boat and it's shining off the water and you can see everything like a mirror. And from the sky to the water, it's like those really good ones. You're like, this is so good. I want to keep it to myself.
I never do that. If it's that good, I definitely want to share it. I took a picture of, so if you're a photographer, does that mean you enter all the photography competitions?
No.
Do you enter any of them?
None. I know that some of my clients use my photography for contests, interior design contests, builder contests, landscaping contests, but I don't enter anything.
There was a contest that just ended, and I was like, damn it, because I have a picture I took of Mennonites. Did you ever see the picture of the Mennonites I took on the beach?
I don't think so.
I'll have to show it to you. Let me show it to you right now. But it's such a great picture. I feel like it... it could win, but then I always forget to, like, enter it and stuff like that. But let me show. I want to show it to you, and you can tell. I want you to tell me what you think of it. But the and then I was worried that the Mennonites might be upset. So here
is that against their religious beliefs?
Mennonite laws.
Okay, so I'm looking at. First of all, the thing that catches your eye the most is a beautiful sunrise.
Rise.
Over the ocean.
Yep.
Lots of colors in the sky. You can see the ocean. And then basically the silhouettes of the Mennonites, you can tell. Because it's mostly black, the silhouettes, so you can tell that they're Mennonites because of their hats. It's a really good picture.
Look at the girl. So look at the girl on the beach, or the first girl.
To the left.
Yep. And it looks like she's, like, almost praying.
Yeah.
And then it looks like they're all just kind of, like, almost letting her send the message or something.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good picture.
And then if you look at the girls on the right, they're almost like twins.
Mm-hmm. Standing right next to each other, facing the same direction. And I think my favorite part of the picture is the man.
Yeah.
Perfect profile.
Yeah.
You can see his nose and his chin and his hat. It's really good.
Isn't that a cool picture?
That is very cool.
I took that with a Nikon. I wasn't done with my phone.
Well, I believe you.
Well, because, you know,
It's really hard to get.
I think it was a T6. What is that? The T6.
I'm a Canon girl.
Maybe it's a Canon. The Rebel. Canon Rebel. It's a Canon.
Oh, okay.
The T6 is a Canon. I bought one because, in fact, I think the T6 is the first one that allow you to plug an external microphone in, just in case you needed to know that.
Okay.
But I bought the camera and I was down at the beach talking to this guy, to the gentleman, and just, you know, some small talk. And then I said, "All right, well, have a great day." And as I walked, I went around in front of him to the left, and then I came out behind him and I just leaned down and took the picture. Didn't even look through the viewfinder; just took it and walked away because I know I didn't want to ask him for the picture.
Right.
So I just got lucky. But
that's a good picture.
It's a good picture.
Mm-hmm.
I love that picture. But that's, you know, I think I always say people, you know, cause I post pictures on the TV and they say, "Oh, you're such a great photographer." And I say, "I don't know if I'm a great photographer. I'm just at the right place at the right time."
It's mostly about timing with stuff like that.
Right. And I say anytime that the sun cracks above the horizon till, you know, when people start really waking up is all like good to go because that's not many people are up.
Yes.
You know, oh, yeah. My God, what a beautiful sunrise. You're so good.
That's hella early. What time did you get up for that picture?
It wasn't that early. In fact, it was probably, I don't even know, but it wasn't that early. It was in the morning, yes.
Isn't the sunrise at like 5:45 a.m.? That's early.
Well, I'm going to have to look at the picture now because I think the sun might have already been up. I actually, believe it or not, was down there. I think the sun had just come up. I was actually down there filming seagulls. I wasn't down there for those folks. I was
beach chickens?
Beach chickens. Well, I have a great picture of a seagull, but I held a cracker. And as he came to get the cracker, I just... So, I mean, he's like this, right at the lens. It actually...
Looking like a typical seagull, like trying to steal your food.
Yes. Nasty creatures.
I don't like them. But I have real chickens.
You do?
They're super cool. Mm-hmm.
That's a state... Is that state bird?
Delaware, yes.
Delaware state bird is a chicken. Blue hen.
Yep. Yeah, so like now that I've had chickens for 5 years, so I call all other birds something chicken, like tree chicken, beach chicken.
So can they fly?
Mine are too fat to fly. But when they're younger, like teenage chickens, they can fly a little bit, but not... They could fly over something, but they couldn't fly up to a tree.
Right. They can move around.
A little bit.
When I was in New Mexico, there were some wild chickens, and they flew.
They're probably starving. That's
is that what their problem is? They just get too heavy?
Yeah, I think so. Like, they get heavy, and they get old, and they just...
Maybe that's how we ended up eating chicken. We just said, hey, that bird's too fat to fly. Grab it.
Yeah, that could taste very it. Well be.
It's good.
Plus
Let's
they
eat those.
Lay eggs, so... It's cool. It's fun to have.
I would love to have chickens. My fear is that my ex-brother-in-law, Brian, has chickens, and all I would hear about these hawks that would just eat his chickens.
I keep mine, like... completely enclosed in a big dog kennel.
Okay.
And then they're where they lay the eggs, their roost, and their little nesting boxes is inside of my shed. So they have a little house inside that's protected, and then they have a big area to run around and eat bugs and stuff.
Now, do you kill the chickens?
No.
So they're just for eggs?
Yeah, they're just for eggs. I don't know. I've had two die, so I have four now. And I don't know. When they stop laying eggs... Like what I'm gonna do with them? Maybe give them. My brother has a farm and chickens. Maybe.
When your first chicken laid an egg, were you like, this chicken's really happy?
I was really excited. I ate the first egg, even though I never like recall. I had fresh eggs when I was a little girl, but I didn't remember. So I was nervous. I was like, I'm gonna eat this egg, and it was a pretty small one. It was the very first one, and I had friends in from out of town, so we all like I scrambled this one egg, and we all split it. Aww. One scrambled egg, but it was really good, and the yolks are super yellow.
Yes.
Compared to grocery store eggs.
But does a chicken have to be happy to lay eggs? I mean, if the conditions aren't right, will they not lay? Or is it just they'll lay or whatever? It doesn't even matter.
I don't think they have to be necessarily happy. But as far as I know from the past 5 years, like if they're molting where they're shedding their feathers, they don't lay. And
I guess that makes sense because I can't imagine like Purdue chickens are happy or Mountain Air chickens are happy.
No.
They've got to be very annoyed.
Yeah.
But they still lay the eggs.
Well, those chickens just get eaten, and they're teen. I think those are teenagers. I don't think they're even ready to lay eggs yet.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I love chicken.
I like it, too. I like it a lot. But so old chickens, once they stop laying eggs, my mom and pop-up had a farm when I was little, and I know that old chickens, they say, are tougher meat, like just chewier and... Not as good as the Purdue chicken you'll get from the grocery store.
Right.
Which is like what they say on, what's their slogan, fresh young chicken? I mean, it is. It's like teenage chicken. So when you're ordering your chicks online, you can pick from broilers or roasters.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What they call them. Like if you specifically want to buy chickens for food. And then there's just regular layers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I ordered my chickens online and they came. In a box.
Alive?
They were the size of an egg, and the postmaster called me and said, your package is here, and it's chirping.
Aww.
It's pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah. Like I said, I'd love to raise chickens. I don't know if I'm... I mean, I guess in a shed like that, I mean, completely covered would be the way to go. I know my Brian, he was like... losing chickens. Yeah. I mean, the hawks are aggressive.
Yeah, the hawks and fox and
yeah, fox
all kinds
too.
Of stuff. Snakes.
Snakes eat chickens
well,
too?
Well, I don't know if they eat chickens, but I've found at least over the past 5 years, six snakes in there when I go to grab an egg and there's a snake wrapped around it. Oh, scares the
oh,
crap
around the
out
egg?
Of me. Yeah.
Oh, do they eat the eggs
they
or the chicken?
Eggs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's creepy. So now I'm in the habit. I look before I stick my hand in.
Well, I know that I like chicken, but since I've been kind of doing some strange diety things that I choose beef first over chicken. I don't think chicken has as much nutrients as meat,
the iron.
As beef.
Yeah.
But I love, you know, chickens. We just had these, my sister-in-law made these stuffed chickens with Hatch green chilies. I order Hatch green chili from New Mexico every summer.
I don't know what that is.
Hatch green or green chili?
Oh.
Hatch is the town it's grown in.
That and sounds fancy.
Yeah, it's grown in believe me, it's not. I mean, the town is a small little town with huge fields of green chilies. But just the climate and the air and the soil there just makes it a perfect place to grow green chilies. So I ordered 5 pounds of pre-cleaned chilies, frozen. And then I order 10 pounds of fresh chilies. They just haven't been harvested yet. They haven't been picked. But when they get picked, I'll get a box. And, you know, it won't be like Amazon where it has, like, bubble wrap and stuff. It's a box. It's thrown with a bunch of chilies, and they just tape it and mail it.
There it is.
And then I roast them, peel them.
Are they spicy?
You can get different versions. I usually order medium and mild. Medium is spicy. Mild is not supposed to be. But this chicken that she made the other day, it was spicy. And they were supposed to be mild, so... But they're not like, you know, a red pepper or mm-hmm. like, you know, a ghost pepper that's going to burn your mouth. It's just
yeah,
spicy.
Make you sweat.
Yeah. If you ever go to New Mexico, instead of ketchup, they have like green chili. You know, you put green chili on eggs. You put green chili on burgers. You put green chili wherever you might have probably put ketchup. You put green chili.
Interesting.
It's delicious.
I don't think I've had it.
No. Well, I'll have to get you some green chili. Have you ever been to New Mexico?
Negative.
Oh, what have you been doing?
I've been to some cool places.
I know you have. Well, I wanted to talk to you about that because you were also doing some cool, like, what were you doing? Because you were traveling, taking pictures.
Yes. So I worked for a larger national company a couple years ago, and I just got super lucky, and I got sent to cool places to just take pictures of the most amazing houses. I got to go to the Cayman Islands twice.
Wow.
And I saw some of the most beautiful places I've ever seen there. And I think the best one I ever got sent to, I basically was flown to Cape Cod just to shoot one property. It was $18 million listing. It was humongous. It had a chapel and a child's, like a full child's playhouse and a boathouse on the property.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Who owned it?
I don't know.
It's mystery.
Yeah. But it was
probably
so
Billy Joel or something.
I don't know. Maybe.
It's got some big houses out there.
Yeah. It was super cool. So I've seen a lot of
did it sell?
I hope so.
I hope you know. Do you negotiate, like, you know, if it sells with my pictures, I get a 0.01%.
I should do that.
Can you do that?
No, I don't.
Guess if you're famous.
I mean, because basically, like, it's up to the realtor, you know, to price the property properly, which, you know, most of them do know how to do if they want to get the listing sold. And so in addition to that, if they have professional photography and the other thing I think is a big deal now is staging. If they have those three things, then the house will sell right away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you could have it priced right.
The pricing is, yeah. I mean, I could take the best pictures in the universe, and if it's not priced right, it's not going to sell.
And that's always funny because you price it right, and it sells quickly, and then you're like, did I price it too low?
Yeah. Yeah. It's you never know. But no, if your goal is to make money, then right. You want it to sell as fast as possible. And
well, and a lot of people that are in that kind of industry just want to move to the next project. You know, it's mm-hmm. not like sitting here waiting for months to sell this at the right price. I mean, move it out. Let's get to the next one.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's if the homeowner wants their house sold and somebody wants to live there, hey.
I've said before, I thought it'd be cool. And you're not a real estate agent. You're just a photographer.
I have my real estate license in Maryland, but okay. I don't use it.
I always thought it'd be cool, like a real estate vlog, you know, like a character, somebody that somebody follows, you know, like setting up a camera and having your feet come, you know, like out of bed and touch the ground, you know, and then another scene where you're putting your suitcase down, and then another scene where you're applying a sign as you're setting up a time lapse with, you know, drone flying by, you know, this cool. Do you know who Casey Neistat is?
Mm-mm.
He's a vlogger up in New York City, but, you know, it was always the same. Hey, good morning, you know. Just hanging out, and then bam, bam, the music kick in, and a time lapse of the clouds passing by skyscrapers, and just drone footage, and just this whole character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that would be fun. If I got into real estate, that's what I would do. That would be my angle.
That'd be your gimmick.
My gimmick, a vlog. You know, where people not only you know look in to see what I'm selling. You know, if I'm working for somebody, but, you know, people that aren't even selling the house might even watch.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And I honestly, I bet if I did that, I bet we could change a few things. You know, I think more people, I think it's a great idea to see what it looks like for a sunrise, a time-lapse sunrise from any house that's being sold.
Hey.
Where's the sun hit?
That's true.
How does it pass over?
Mm-hmm.
I think those are important things, you know.
It is. It is. I love my favorite part of my job. Is doing twilight photography.
Mm.
I think I have one tomorrow night. I'm not 100% sure yet, but it's...
What's twilight photography,
so
besides
that's like
the obvious?
Right when the sun's setting, typically a little after, you just take pictures of the house, and it's got to be all lit up from within, so it kind of looks like it's glowing, and the results are just... Whether there's a pretty sunset or not, like, the results are just always really, like, breathtaking. It's like you could see that as your house because
why don't
of
you
the
set
glowing.
Up a, you know what would be cool? Set up a time-lapse camera and time-lapse it from day to glowing.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm brilliant.
How much should I charge?
Well, I would try it and see what it looks like.
What percent do you want?
I don't want anything.
No, I'm just teasing.
I wouldn't charge anything. I mean, I think I don't think everything we do has to have a value. And I think in the end, the more stuff we do that doesn't have a value makes us in the end more valuable.
Hmm.
You know, if everything we do is, people say, well, how much do you get paid for these podcasts? I don't get paid anything.
They're fun.
If, as soon as I'm getting paid, now it's a job. Now I'm dreading it.
True.
Now I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, but mm-hmm. if I'm just doing it, and then maybe, hey, one day somebody will say, I love that podcast. I want to buy it all. Then they can have it. I mean, I don't plan on that. But that's, you know, the more stuff I do for less money, the more valuable it gets. And yeah. I think that that's just something that you could do for free that sets you apart.
Yeah.
You know, cool time. I mean, for a long time, I never really paid attention to where the sun rises and sets. I mean, I know where it is, but as far as it's with my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing time-lapse photography, and now I know exactly where my sun set, and I can watch it through the season. You know, it's about...
As it moves.
Because it moves,
mm-hmm.
You know, and the winter is not a great time-lapse season.
Right.
It's great for gray stuff, but this...
Yeah.
And then you also learn about, like, GoPros. They're not great for sunset and sunrise time lapses either, because the fisheye doesn't allow the saturation, so you don't get a lot of the great colors, where an iPhone time lapse is really nice because you can get all the color.
Right, yep.
So I just think those are fun things.
Yeah, so my idea, my little gimmick, I think, is going to be...
Wait a minute, should we say it out loud?
Yeah.
Okay, say it.
I'm not going to take full credit for this because it's partly Danny's idea too, but he was telling me about this video he watches where there's an Australian guy, I think, doing commentary over another video and kind of just mocking it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking, I should have somebody record me doing a photo shoot or part of a photo shoot, and then Danny can go on and kind of say, oh, look, there she is, you know, the elusive Krista Toggerfish or whatever, like, and just kind of do something funny and light, but while I'm working, and then post it on Facebook every once in a while.
Like you've been spotted.
Yeah, like I've been spotted, or like I'm taking pictures of a house, and the house is like, who is she? What's she doing in here? Like, what's this lady?
Well, and I agree. I mean, whether it's that or something like that, but, you know, just building a character.
Light. Mm-hmm. Something you know, that light that's kind
of
funny.
Well, and I think a lot of people think that, you know, people only need to know who you are when they're ready to use you for something that they need. But I like the idea, you know, maybe so, like for the podcast, you know, maybe someone doesn't have a small business that they want, but they like the idea. They listen to the podcast. And then all of a sudden one day they said, you know what, I'm going to open a small business and I'd like to come on the podcast. It wasn't for them until it was ready for them, but they still were entertained or enjoyed it.
Right.
You know, and that's the same thing. You know, I don't care about real estate agents unless I'm trying to sell a house. But if all of a sudden I started, like, that guy's funny, you know. Oh, I like that, the time lapse, how he set that up. You know, mm-hmm. I like the idea. You know, does it create or provoke thought in me? That's the kind of stuff that I like. And then all of a sudden, one day I want to sell my house. Well, I know who I'm calling.
Right.
That dude.
Yep.
Because mm-hmm. he's, you know, he gets an audience.
Yeah. Or just, you know, like, it's a lot of exposure, too. Like, just seeing somebody's name over and over again on Facebook or wherever it may be. And, like, it's just kind of like the polling. For me, personally, because I don't follow politics at all, but it's like when you go in to vote, the name that you've seen the most is the one that sticks in your brain.
True.
So, hey, nothing wrong with that, I guess.
No, unfortunately. a lot of politicians have been voted in just on that.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I didn't vote in the last election.
I didn't either, but we won't get into it.
Yeah, I can't. So, I can't talk about that stuff.
I can't either, and I'm just not smart enough to argue with people about it.
Yeah.
So are you still doing that? Are you still traveling and taking pictures, or are you still working for this company, or is that done?
So no, I just do my own thing now with Atlantic Exposure, but I do still travel and take photos.
That's Krista Valiant from Atlantic Exposure.
Krista Valiant from Atlantic Exposure.
Krista Valiant from Atlantic Exposure.
Mm-hmm. Owner.
Owner. Unless I owe you, then I don't own it.
No. So, yeah, I'm actually going to Stowe, Vermont next week.
Nice.
Not next week. I leave in like 3 days.
And this week.
This week. And it's my very favorite place in the whole world. I went there at first to do work, and then I've been back there during every season. I've probably been there 10 times. It's just a really cool, pretty town.
Well, I think you... I mean, you had some stuff going on in your life, and I think you needed a break from the area, and I saw you kind of just up and left and went. Is that where you went?
Yeah. Not this past winter, the winter prior, I was there for almost 3 months. Yeah, just kind of rolled out. It was very pretty. It's very pretty. So I'm excited. It's a lot. It's where I first went on a hike, like a real hike where you're going up because there's no ups here.
And where was it again?
Stowe, Vermont.
Stowe, Vermont.
Yeah, so it's the big city of Burlington. It's about 45 minutes from there. And
I love
it's
going
super
up
close
there.
To Canada.
I haven't been up that far, but my in-laws, or I have some family that live up in Connecticut. And we usually go up around December
mm-hmm.
or somewhere in that time of the year. And I love it up there.
It's so pretty.
It's so beautiful.
Pretty. Yeah, and if you do your timing right, like I went this past fall in October, and I got to see all the leaves change while I was there. Mm. So it's just really nice and it's quiet.
And there's a lot of history up there.
Mm-hmm. And Vermont is one of those states where there's no billboards.
Okay.
So it's like the visual, there's no visual pollution. It's just when you look around, you see mountains, you see Lake Champlain, you see giant, awesome things that similar to the ocean, but different, you know, because it's a mountain. And
well, and I'm always fascinated, like when we go up there, that you'll see like, you know, like if you go to Providence, you know, like the Breakers, those big old mansions from the early days of the the Vanderbilts and the whoever's. And there's a big, on the way home, we pass a lake, and up on the top of the mountain, there's one of those kind of houses. And you can tell it's got like 19 fireplaces because, you know, there wasn't heat. So everything was heated through fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, but you think, who lived up in that, you know?
Yeah, they're fun. I love architecture. I love old houses.
Yeah.
That's part of why I really like my job is I get to see all kinds of amazing, brand new, super modern beach houses and then super cool old places that have like literally like slave quarters in the basement
right.
and like just really neat history. Not the slave part is neat, but
of course,
you know, like just those old steps with like wooden pegs instead of nails and just really neat stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool. I mean, I've been to the Breakers up in Providence, and it was very cool. But I was like, I don't know if I could I mean, I guess just the grandiosity of it back then, but I wouldn't find myself wanting to live in a house this big.
Oh, no.
Well, and they say that, you know, the reason that they don't have these houses anymore is because you can't afford to pay the help.
Yeah, that's how they took care of those places back in the day. They had so many people working.
Right.
And, yeah, that would be way too much work.
Yeah.
And a lot of cleaning.
Yeah. Well, there's still, like, butlers, you know. Butlers go, there's butler school. I mean, there's still... Well, there is.
There is?
Absolutely. There's still a level of people that have butlers and, you know, maids, and there's... it's a high-end business, being a butler.
Maybe, like, what, New York or Connecticut?
I guess. I mean, I've never been that level of... that I even know where they would be working. I've heard when we were at the Breakers, I was like... because I'm asking, like, you know... how come people don't live in these houses? And the guy's like, well, because it'd be so expensive. But there are high-end butlers that still work in high-end family homes. Huh. But it's a, you know, it's a serious... remember, what was it? What was the show there was over in England? You know, they had the whole... there was like a show about the whole staff behind the...
I don't know.
I forget what it was, but Abbey, Donington...
I never watched that.
I didn't either, but there was... because I just happened to see it, and I guess that the real show is based on just the people working behind the scenes of these houses, you know, and they'd be like, oh, the, you know, they'd be laughing about the family and stuff and talking about them.
Yeah, the typical workplace drama TV show.
Absolutely.
Except they're in a giant mansion.
A castle with hounds and a moat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd live in a castle, I guess, but I could live in a tiny house, so it'd have to be a tiny castle.
That'd be cool. Maybe that's what's next. Tiny castles.
Tiny castles.
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah.
Were you a Game of Thrones fan?
Yes. Yeah.
It was good. I love Game of Thrones. I'm a little sad that it's over.
It's a bummer that it's over. And everybody has an opinion, just like The Sopranos, about how it ended.
I don't know. I was really sad when he stabbed her and killed her. And then when that moment when the dragon went... I was like, I felt bad. And you could just hear him coming.
Yeah, like...
and he was just so sad.
Poor dragon. Yeah, but at the same time, like, I guess he knew that Jon Snow was, like, somehow a relative or did it out of love, and so he didn't burn him alive. That was kind of cool.
We were talking about this the other day. I'm not sure... was he burnable?
Oh. Maybe that's why I didn't burn him then, because he wasn't. Right,
because there was
he's non-flammable.
Well, there was a couple scenes, like when they fought the dead, like with the blue dragon or the blue flame dragon, that they were, you know, flames were coming at him. They were going all around him. Any other human would have probably got on fire.
Right.
But he didn't. And then there was another scene when the dragon was burning everybody, all the dead, and he was kind of... not getting burned as well. So I didn't know, but there was no confirmation on that.
Yeah, that's true. I think my favorite scene in the finale was when she walked up to the steps and the dragon, like, spread his wings behind her, and she looked like she had the dragon wings. That was super cool.
That was cool.
That was really neat.
I mean, was there a part of you that was, like, just full of satisfaction when that dragon just burned everybody? I mean,
I was disappointed.
Because we know it's a TV show, right? So we know the people that really didn't die. But, you know, let the dragon stretch its wings a bit, you know?
Yeah, it probably liked it. I was disappointed in her character.
That she burned everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you had such high hopes for her, and she was doing, like, so much good. And then all of a sudden this season she turned, like, she didn't care. And
she'd had it.
She turned into the typical ruler of the Seven Kingdoms or whatever.
Yeah. Did you watch Chernobyl?
No.
I didn't either.
No. I'm watching right now Stranger Things, like I said, and also I'm watching Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom.
I don't know what channel it's on, and it's not about animals. It's about, like, a gang of thugs in California, brothers and a mom.
Huh.
It's pretty good.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And on regular TV, but it's on season, like, 4 or something. I have it on demand, and they want to charge you on your TV for it, but I found it on Amazon Prime, so.
Did you watch Black Mirror?
Yes.
Have you watched the new season?
No. I don't know why none of the stuff looked appealing. And there's only, what, like 3 episodes?
I don't know. I watched one. It was so... This guy falls in love with his buddy in a video game.
There's some that are super weird. Like, there was a one about the pig.
Oh, that was bad.
I couldn't even watch it. Like, yeah. I saw the preview and Brett was reading about it, and I was like, nope, I'm not going to watch this one.
So you're going to have sex with the pig? He goes, well, you're crazy. You're going to. Uh-oh.
There's that some was weird
demoralizing.
Ones. But then there were some interesting ones. And I think the overall thing is, like, we're super wrapped up in technology.
Yep.
And, you know, who knows what's going to happen because of it. I like that overall message. It's interesting.
It is. I
makes you think.
A friend of mine's, like, went into all these big words explaining that whole basis behind that show. And I was like, I didn't read into it that much. I just... He fell in love with his friend in a video game, and they're two. They're not gay, but they.
I don't know if I want to watch any of them. But they have the interactive one too. A movie. Have you seen that?
No.
I want to check that out. It's something like Black Mirror, and it's interactive on Netflix, and you can pick what they do next. My little brother was telling me about it.
Yeah, well, we were just saying. I mean, we're going to lose our desire to leave the planet because our. Our virtual realities have become so... Did you see Ready Player One?
Which one was that?
The Steven Spielberg movie, Ready Player One.
I thought you were talking about a Black Mirror episode.
No.
No.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of talks about the future where we're all just going to be living in the lobby, you know, in our world, and we're just going to come home and put our goggles on and just live in another world.
We're getting there.
I don't.
It's sad.
Is it? Or maybe it's just cool.
It's sadly cool.
I always say there was a guy that, you know, said that paper was from the devil because he wrote on cave walls, and he said people that use paper are from the devil. There's always somebody moving forward and always somebody going to be there to argue that it's a bad direction.
That's true.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So the so you're just taking pictures. You're not even working for that company anymore. How did you just, it got too much?
Yeah, well, like you said, I had some stuff going on, and I just couldn't work. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't do anything at all, like even go to the grocery store. So, yeah, I ended up leaving my job and just trying to regroup, and I went to Vermont, and then slowly I just kind of pieced my shit back together, and it took a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then... I started out on my own, and it's taken almost a year to really get going.
Do you want to talk about any of that or no?
Because
we don't. Well, you know, I guess the only reason I think sometimes maybe that might be nice to talk about is because, you know, people go through stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's some people don't really know how to put their foot in front of the other. You know, they just are. I just had a lady that had something similar happen, and. You know, it's been really tough. And I had another girl on about, we were talking about, you know, cleaning out closets and moving forward. And and sometimes, you know, there's a lot of stuff connected with it. And sometimes if you say, well, look, I'm going to clean this out or move past this, that, like they're saying that I didn't love you or I didn't care for you. And it's you know, it's tough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard to move through stuff like that.
It is.
I mean, did you just need to get away? Time takes time.
Yeah, it was primarily time. And, you know, like everybody tells you when you're grieving, there's no wrong way to grieve. And so, like, I did all of it. You know, I was in the denial. The anger thing was the only thing that hit me super late. I got the anger, you know, like 2 years later. But, yeah, it's debilitating, and it's just hard to put one foot in front of the other, but I have some good friends that stood by me, and I talk to them every day, and they say, did you take a shower yet? Like, why don't you just take a shower today? And or have you talked to blah, 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 and why don't you just give them a call? Or go to the grocery store. Did you eat? Eat some food.
It's like, almost like getting sober.
Almost, yeah.
I mean, one second at a time, one minute at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird when, you know, whether it's grieving or breakups or whatever it is, it's weird because we don't always feel like, oh, that couldn't happen to me. I mean, if that happened to me, I'd be fine. Or I would be, I would use all that I know and I would work myself through it. And then shit like that happens. And then you find yourself like under a blanket on the couch.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do I do?
Yeah. And you don't want to. I think part of the problem too with grieving for me was that I didn't care to do anything. Like my bills piled up. I was getting red, you know, red envelopes. My electric was about to get shut off. I just didn't care about anything at all. Like my family, eating, nothing. I didn't care and I didn't want to care. So that makes it like the spiral of death where you're just kind of like, there's nothing that's going to get you out of that. There's just nothing unless you do something different. So it just took a long time.
And then one day you said, I'm going to get myself out of it.
No.
What'd you meet somebody else? I mean,
I did. I ended up meeting somebody else, but like the talking to somebody in every day, then doing the next right thing or the next thing, just that helped. And then eventually, like, I didn't cry every time I went to the grocery store or whatever, but stuff would still, you know, pop up. Like I was at a thrift shop and, I was just looking at something and there was a local Five, shirt hanging up, which is what he was, an iron worker. And so just, and this was like a year and a half later and I just lost it. And that's just how it goes. Like you think you're okay, but you're not really okay. You don't know what's going to happen, like how you're going to feel. You just can't control your emotions sometimes.
Do you think it's tough to have relationships where, like, you think, oh, like, I've had relationships that are so, like, intertwined, and when they end up ending, it's so, you know, takes you to a place where you're just so, you can't do anything. Is that healthy?
I would...
But then on the other hand, you're like, you know, I could take on the world with you or without you. And, you know, is that healthy? You know?
I think anything you end up doing is healthiest for you, whatever it may be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I'm serious. Like, I think everything happens for a reason, and everything we do is for a reason.
Well, I agree.
I don't know if it's...
I can't say everything I've done
has been healthiest. But as far as grieving goes, whether it's the loss of a person or a relationship, I don't think there's any wrong way to do that as long as you do something, whether it's yelling or crying or calling somebody or just trying to get out of bed.
Do you think it's better to like share your story or talk about it? And then, because I used to have a friend that used to say, if you have a problem or you have some, you're working with some, having a struggle, share it with somebody and it cuts the problem in half.
Yeah, I think so.
Instead of just like holding it all together.
Yeah, because also like
holding it in.
Just like anything in life, like I don't think you can make sense of the stuff that's going on in your head unless you bounce it off somebody else. And I think that like talking about that, it relieves a burden because we're social people and we need to be able to share the things we feel, even if we don't want to sometimes.
Sometimes my wife will come home and she'll be like, you know, she's like stressed out about work or something. And, you know, where in the past I might not have said anything or just kind of, okay, I try to think, how can I question her, or present a question or concern in a way that allows her to share it, that maybe instead of going, honey, you should share your problems because it'll cut it in half. You know, I just say, do you think she meant to do that? You know, I don't know. But just to try to be more helpful to my wife when she's stressed out, to instead of, you know, like saying, you know, people say if you share, it'll cut it in half. Just saying, you know, I'm just trying to be a better husband.
Well, that's good.
Well, it's good. I said I'm trying. I don't know if it's working, but, you know, it was just the other day. She was all stressed out, and then sometimes I can be a little, you know, like, I don't understand why it's such a big deal. You know, like, it isn't a big deal. But it's bothering her, you know. So I try to figure out ways that I can present it to her with a question that allows her to share it a little bit. And then maybe she'll feel better after she tells me about it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, stress is different, too. I think that, like, communication in a relationship is obviously very, very important. And so it's...
I haven't always been good at it.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's because you're scared. You're scared of the reaction. But even that, like, controlling the other person's reaction by telling or not telling them something mm-hmm. is not healthy.
No. Well, and that's not, I don't mean like I'm trying to control it. No, I'm just trying to ask it in a way that allows her to share it so that maybe if she isn't holding it in and shares it with me or shares it, guess vents a bit, that maybe she'll feel better.
Maybe you could like dress up like a punching bag and just say, do you want to relieve some stress? Come.
I'll be like, damn.
Yeah, stress sucks. It's hard.
Where do you live now?
Berlin.
Berlin? You're still in Berlin?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go out to Assateague and Chincoteague and take pictures of the horses?
I have, but not recently.
So you're just pretty much focusing on real estate stuff.
Yeah.
Is that where you make money?
Yes. Yeah, no, I don't do anything else besides maybe some beach portraits in the summer.
Do you do any weddings still?
I haven't recently. I mean, I would if I could.
Well, so you did go through some stuff, and you're kind of back.
Mm-hmm.
So are you kind of like, is this Krista Valiant 2.1? Is this just kind of finding yourself again?
Yeah, this is the new me. I'm still not really sure who I am. Like, I felt like after he passed away that I was lost and, like, never going to be the same, and I will never be the same, and I'm hoping this version that I'm still working on is better, the 2.1 model.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
2.1.1.
Yeah. So I'm in a relationship now, and I'm trying, you know, to figure out how to be that girl, the other half of a partner, you know, ship, team, or whatever, that's had somebody she loved die, and how do I deal with being that girl?
Well, it's tough because you don't, you know, if you're still, I mean, I guess you'll always be slightly mourning, you know, it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't, I don't know. I mean, that's tough, especially in a new relationship, you know, if you're still upset or stressing, or not stressing, but, you know, still affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be for a long time. I guess you have to decide. You can't just be in mourning forever, right?
Yeah. No, I definitely, like, the 90% of the grief went away, 75% of the grief went away the day I met Danny, because I was still in love with a person that couldn't love me back.
Right.
And so falling out of love with him and meeting Danny and then falling in love with Danny helped quite a bit with that. Like, because I really didn't think I would ever feel like that again. And so I was surprised when I did, and it was a huge help. But then, like, just learning how to not, like, every time he goes to do something, like, worry that he's going to die accidentally. 'Cause that's what happened to Andrew. We were skating. He was skating. And we were on a hilly road in southern Maryland near Calvert Cliffs, and he just went like a mile and a half down the road and somehow got the speed wobbles or something, hit a rock and fell off a skateboard and died of a traumatic head injury that night. And it was just so out of the blue, and like I was supposed to leave for Florida for a work trip like the next morning, and so everything just got super thrown off. And I found out he had a wife I didn't know about. I mean, it was like, it was just the most mind-boggling, like...
Like a wife,
married in the eyes of the law.
Well, but that'd be one thing if he was, like, with you but sneaking at home with his wife every day. He wasn't doing that.
No, like, she was in Florida.
Yeah.
And she even told me that they weren't together. Right. It was just in legal terms. But still, like, he lied to me about it. And so, anyway, it was just things.
So I guess no helmet.
No helmet. No. And so Danny also skateboards. And so I hadn't skated for over a year. And we did go together. And it was hard for me. I cried. And he was super supportive about it. And, like, we just went on a little loop around Berlin. And he's like, I'm really proud of you for doing this. Mm. I know it was hard. And I was happy I did it, because I was, like, looking at my skateboard, like, you know, I'm never going to do this. And
it's interesting being in a relationship. My wife, her first husband passed away.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting to try and be, I mean, I didn't know him. So And her, you know, my daughter Teresa's, that was her dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's times where my wife is, you know, still emotional about it, especially when, you know, there's reaction from Teresa. And, you know, I have to remember to be, you know, I try to be supportive. I mean, I get, you know, that's tough. I mean, it's tough to, you can't just move on and then never look back at that. You know, just because you're in a new relationship, you can't, as Dan or Danny, your new boy, he can't be like, well, now you're with me, let's just not think about that.
Yeah, no, he's super good about that.
You have to have you have to play the role, you know, like how, still be supportive no matter, you know, we take each other for now and for our past and our future. Yeah. I mean, so that's, you know, I mean, that's great that you got a guy like that that's, that can be supportive and help you get through those hard times.
Yeah, he's really good
about
it.
I hope you made him wear a helmet.
Neither of us, I don't think, will ever wear a helmet. But I don't
I don't wear helmets.
I don't suggest that for anybody skateboarding down a steep road, like a hill anywhere. You know, definitely you should wear a helmet if you're somewhere like in a skate park or a bowl or something like that. But, well, you know, if you're just cruising on the streets of Berlin on a longboard, then probably not.
Well, look,
but don't sue me if you...
don't come yelling at me if you bust your head.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I used to love riding the motorcycle, and
Delaware has a no helmet
thing, yeah, right? And I don't like a helmet because it's freaking too cool to have a helmet, to not have a helmet on. So, but one day I said, you know what, I really love my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, I have people in my life. My niece Lily, she was in that car accident. She had a terrible head injury. She lived, and she's doing pretty good now.
Mm-hmm.
But that was scary.
Yeah.
And I just don't. It's tough enough just being a human, you know.
Yes.
I don't want to have a head injury, and
oh yeah.
So I sold the motorcycle, and then Matt passed away. And then when he passed away, I was like, forget it. I sold it. But you know, it's. You could fall out of your own, just getting out of your car, fall and hit your head and really have some problems. But so that's cool. I mean, you know, I will tell you, you know, I remember when it happened. I was really, you know, was really worried about you. I think I sent you a message or even tried to call you just to let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it would matter, but just to let you know I was thinking about you. And and I have seen you a little more activity out of you. That's why I called.
Yes.
I'm like, come on, do my podcast.
Yeah.
And I didn't have you on to talk about that, but, you know.
Sometimes. Yeah, no, it's definitely a big part of my life, so I don't mind talking about it.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that that's how he passed away on a skateboard, so I'm...
Yeah. Yeah, just couldn't have been more out of the blue.
Do you... Does Danny, is he into photography?
No.
He's not.
Danny is just a... He's a carpenter, he's a skater, he likes to play the guitar, and I like to take his picture.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of stuff in common. He, probably the biggest thing is the music. Music and love of family.
Did you go to Firefly?
No.
You want to go next year?
I'm not a festival person.
Well, who is? Nobody's a festival person. You just go and you enjoy the music and, oh yeah, there's a festival going on.
I don't know.
We had such a good time. We've been, this was my third year. Every year I've taken my kid, I think. Yeah, I've taken my son. No, this is my third year. Yeah, first year we saw 21 Pilots. Last year we saw Eminem. And this year we saw Panic at the Disco.
Eminem.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, we saw TLC this year.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Don't go chase the waterfall.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Sorry. But, so, and, you know, obviously the bands that are there. But then we saw, like, the Naked Party. The record company. They were just some amazing young acts that you're not getting. I don't listen to the radio. It's I usually just listen to iTunes.
Mm.
So I'm not open to new bands.
Yeah, that's a good way to find
music. It was way worth it. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was festival-y, but we buy the VIP, so that gives you a little buffer.
Yeah.
But you know, if I didn't think it was fine and, you know, someone was going to get hurt, I wouldn't take my kids.
Mm. I think Ocean City had that jellyfish festival that same weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there any good bands?
There were some good bands. Lots of, like, cool surfing activities and kids sports stuff.
Yeah.
I did not attend, but I heard a lot about it. It looked pretty cool.
This is your 2020 is your year.
Yeah.
Firefly Jellyfish Festival.
Maybe.
You and Danny come down and we'll all go to Firefly for the, we'll pick a night. We won't do the weekend. I don't camp. I don't like camping. Yeah. Not camping there, but
we could just camping, but just in the woods.
Well, and this is my third year, and I realized this year that, you know, festivals have a dress code.
They do. You have to wear clothes. Some clothes.
Minimal. But you know, it's hysterical.
At least a bikini bottom.
We saw a lady in a net, literally just net. I mean, you could see her nipples. You could see her whole body, but the net made it okay.
Because she had a net on.
Net.
Nice.
Some people were dressed up like candy canes. Some people, it was a mess. But you know, it's free spirit.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I don't know if festival's my thing. Even when I go to concerts, unless I'm taking photos and then I'm in the pit, I'm standing in the furthest back.
Have you been a rock photographer?
Yeah. Not a rock photographer, but I've taken a ton of reggae band photos.
Where?
The Norva in Norfolk, Virginia. Okay. I did Dirty Heads there and Sublime with Room. And a bunch of places in Baltimore and D.C. I did, like, Iration, pretty much any reggae band you can think
now,
of.
Did you do that under Atlantic Exposure, or was that just Krista Valiant?
That was just Krista Valiant. And I haven't done any since prior to Andrew passing away. I kind of stopped that. Now I just go and listen to the music and... No, that's not true. I did Dirty Heads.
Did you stop it because it's associated with him?
No, I just kind of stopped.
Isn't it weird? I don't know if this is... Sometimes people come in your life and they kind of inspire you to do different things. And then when they leave, you're like, well, I don't feel like doing that anymore. I don't know. Was that kind of like that? Did you get into taking pictures?
Well, I didn't do anything after he passed away. I just stopped doing a lot of stuff. And I'm slowly starting to get things back. I picked up a new hobby, so maybe that's replacing the musical photography.
What's your new hobby?
I started turning bowls.
Like with clay?
Wood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my dad and my brothers have been doing it for a couple years.
Have you done any
now.
With, like, resins and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That shit is cool.
Yeah. So
can
that's,
you make me a bowl?
Sure.
I'll buy it.
So that's my thing. Like, they all do their regular wooden bowls, you know. Not that they're bad or anything, but they're like manly looking.
Mm-hmm.
Mine have color and glitter and like resin.
I need a bowl for this table.
Okay.
Like this big? No,
that's
wait.
That's too big.
How big?
Most of my bowls are really small because when I started, I was using scraps of their wood. But I have a bunch of wood drying out from. We've been collecting wood for the past year, basically. It takes anywhere from like a year to 2 years for wood to dry out after it's cut.
I need a bowl like in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, crap. I might have one. So I have some wood that I got in Vermont when I was there this fall that's waiting, and we're going to pick up
so
some
So are you
more.
Always looking for wood? Because if yes. I'm like out and I find some wood, I should now be like, oh, Krista could probably use this
wood.
It
has to be certain kinds of wood. Oh. I prefer maple.
Okay.
And if it has a burl, which is basically like a ugly tree wart.
Cancer.
Beautiful on the inside. Mm-hmm. So pretty. So
there's a big burl tree down, right down the street, heading over to the where they sell the ice cream at the cow farm, the dairy.
Okay.
There's a big burl tree down there by the pond.
Yeah, those are good.
I watched this show once about these tweakers. All they did was go around cutting burl. I don't even get that burl, you know, but they're all hopped up on meth. He's like, I got this burl. You know, like it was like, you know.
It was like gold.
Yeah, it was like gold.
It is. It's really cool. I mean, they're so ugly on the outside, but on the inside, it's just really pretty and everyone's different. And it's very, very hard for some reason, much more solid than the rest of the tree. So.
Well, it's cells. I think it's cells building in on itself. It's like,
yeah,
it's haywireness. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, like if you get a tumor, tumors are very dense.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. It's
yep.
like a tumor.
It's the same thing. It's super
tumor.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, we've been chatting. You and I have been downloading some info.
Yeah.
But the most important thing I wanted to get out there is that I miss you.
I miss you too.
And I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you. I'm glad you're doing well.
And second of all, Atlantic Exposure.
Yeah. Atlantic Exposure.
Well, I like the name, Atlantic Exposure. I think I really just wanted to check in with you, touch base. You know, Atlantic Exposure, Chris DeValiant. We can get you some business, real estate stuff. But yeah. I just wanted to have you on and just let you know that I care about you and hope you're doing well.
Aw, thank you.
I'm glad you're coming back out of it. I'm so sorry for your loss. That was a huge deal. And I know the worst part was that you looked really happy.
I was.
Yeah. And not that you're not happy now, but I know that was tough. I remember Kathleen called me. Oh, my God. I'm like, what happened? Christian, what was going on? I was like, oh, my God. So it was just a big deal, not just with me, but with all your friends. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I've never felt so loved, honestly, after that happened. I got probably like 50 cards in the mail, which blew my mind. And just so many people, even like months and months after, it would just randomly check on me. The silver lining out of that situation was realizing that I had like so many people that cared about me and like that my family and my friends, my good friends were there for me. Like not just my good friends, just having people there for me it was nice to feel like that. That helped a lot too with the grieving process and getting over it. Just knowing that I could talk to anyone about it if I wanted to.
Well, you could always talk to me. I mean, not that you reached out, but you could have.
I didn't reach out to anybody.
Yeah, that's cool. And I say that, but I may not be the best person to talk to. But so listen, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Atlantic Exposure.
Yes.
So we'll have you back on, but now we'll be just dealing with business.
Okay.
Pictures.
Yeah.
And I want to hear about your drone license.
Okay.
I want to hear about your experience.
Yeah.
And I think I might even have some stuff I can give you that might help you with the test.
Okay, cool.
Cheat sheet.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it invisible ink I can write on my hand?
No, but you know, the test isn't even that hard. What's stupid about the test is it's like gives you three good answers. And then you're like, it's one of those multiple choice
ones.
I
know that they keep talking about it in my class. There's a lot of trick questions where it's like it switches little letters out and you just have to really read everything thoroughly.
Yeah, exactly. That's what got me. But anyway, Krista, thank you for coming on. Krista Valiant from Atlantic Exposure.
Thank you.
And we'll put that in the details in the podcast. But
cool.
I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks
hope you
for
have a great
me.
Day. And maybe we'll get together back in the fall.
Absolutely.
All right, dear. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.